Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you are a regular listener, why not plan to visit Beth Emmanuel in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin for one of the holidays? Join us in the fall for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or Sukkot, or come visit in the springtime and spend Passover or Shavuot with us. All the holidays are special at Beth Emmanuel. You can contact us to request details by clicking on the Contact tab on our website. And remember to support Beth Emmanuel with your prayers and financial gifts.
Yeah, turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, which was our Maftir reading that we heard from the Bima today. Today is called Shabbat HaChodesh, which I was telling you. It means the Sabbath of the new moon or the new month. And this is the Sabbath that comes right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the first month of the Jewish calendar. Rosh Chodesh Nisan occurs this week on Tuesday. And it's easy to remember because it coincides with the civil calendar this year. Interestingly enough, April 1st also falls on Tuesday. So it will be April 1st and Nisan 1st simultaneously, which doesn't happen every year, you know. But it does mean that Rosh Chodesh Nisan will also be April Fool's Day, right? So the sages ordained that on the Sabbath before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we have a special Sabbath in honor of the coming month of Nisan. And the main reason for this is to remind everyone of how close Passover is. Once the first of Nisan arrives, you only have 2 weeks left until Passover begins. So it's a two-week warning. But the month of Nisan is special. It's holy in its own right. And today I'm going to teach you a little bit about the spiritual greatness of the biblical month of Nisan and encourage you to take hold of it yourself before you get swept away. You know, we're going to get swept away in the busyness and the chaos of Passover. Let's get a sense of the spiritual potential that's bound up in this season. And maybe we can resolve to make an extra effort this year to experience Hashem and to sanctify ourselves, to experience His Spirit and to let the miracles of Nisan work their transforming power in our lives. That is the power of our Master, who was crucified in Nisan and who was raised back to life. Life. And this happened in the month of Nisan. And He commissions us to testify to that life on His behalf today. So, that's the goal. Starts this Tuesday. Don't be a fool. On April Fool's Day. Be wise, be wise. Take hold of the future redemption by celebrating Nisan properly with a sober spirit, a joyful heart, seeking the Lord in the month of Nisan, an adventure in the appointed times. Now, maybe you're thinking, what exactly is Nisan? And of course, as everyone knows, it's a Japanese auto manufacturer. Headquartered in Yokohama. That's what Wikipedia says. But in Judaism, Nisan is also the name of one of the biblical months. Usually occurs in the vicinity of April. This year lines up exactly with April. It's also called the month of Aviv in the Bible. And it's also called the first month in the Bible. Hasidic teaching says that Nisan is called the month of Nisan because it's a month of great miracles, and that's why it's called Nisan, because the Hebrew word nes is in Nisan. You know, you can see nes in there, especially if you read it backwards. But that's, of course, a false etymology. Nevertheless, I like it. But in reality, Nisan is not a Hebrew word, not originally. It's called Nisan because that is the name of the month on the Babylonian calendar, which is also a lunar calendar. So the Jewish community picked up the Babylonian month name while sojourning in Babylon. I mean, it's just the same as if you can imagine that they had been carried into captivity in America, and then they changed the name of the month to April. You know, that's how it works. But nevertheless, it's a biblical name because we see it being used in the Bible. It's used in the book of Esther, then it's used again in the book of Nehemiah. Two books which happen to be about the redemption from the Babylonian exile. So Nisan is the, you could call it, the exilic name of the month. Originally a Babylonian month name, though. The older name, also appearing in the Bible, is Aviv. Aviv. For example, in Exodus 13, it says, in verse 3 of Exodus 13, on this day in the month of Aviv, you are about to go forth from Egypt, Moses tells the children of Israel. Or in another passage we find in Deuteronomy 16, and this is really, I think, the important one that I'm trying to get you to today, but you don't have to turn there. This is the top of Deuteronomy 16 where it says, observe the month of Aviv. I find that very interesting. That doesn't say observe the month of Passover. It doesn't say observe the Passover, but it starts out with the words, observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Aviv, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You see, Aviv was the Canaanite name of the month. That's what scholars say. And the word Aviv actually refers to the ripening of the barley, fresh heads of barley, which came ripe in the springtime. So Aviv, more or less idiomatically, it means, you know, it's literally month of the ripening of the barley or the ripe ears of barley. But it's another way of saying the month of springtime. So you've heard of the city of Tel Aviv, for example. Tel Aviv means city of springtime. In the month of Aviv, the priests offered the first ripe barley as the first fruit offering in the temple, the first day of the Omer. So we call it the barley Omer, and you see how that's connected to the name Aviv with the ripe barley heads. So now what have we got so far? On the one hand, the month is called Nisan. I'm going to throw a lot of this kind of terminology at you today. On the other hand, it's called Aviv. Both names are biblical names because both appear in the Bible, but it has a third name, which is the name that God gives it. And that is first month. And this is where we find in our reading in Exodus chapter 12. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Prior to that moment, the people of Israel used to consider the month of Tishrei, the month that begins with Rosh Hashanah, to be the first month of the year. So the numbering of the Jewish months, the Jewish New Year, so to speak, used to be in the fall, around October, beginning with the month that's now counted as the seventh month. And the Lord said to Moses, okay, from now on, as of Exodus 12, from now on, this month, the month of Aviv, the month of springtime, is the beginning of months for you. This is to be the first month, and this explains why we have a new year in the seventh month, because the month that used to be the seventh month is now the first month, and the month that used to be the first month is now the seventh month. Make sense? Anyway, so call it whatever you like. Nisan, Aviv, first month. Don't call it April. But even though this year it is April. It's the significance of the first month, we read on as we read on in the text, is that this is the Passover month. This is the month of redemption where we're going to read. It says, this shall be a beginning of months. Tell the children of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, take a lamb according to their father's household. A lamb without blemish, a male, a year old. It says in verse 6, keep it until the 14th day of this month. 14th day, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight and take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. It's Passover. And for this reason, because it's Passover month, the month of Nisan is associated with the redemption. And Jewish tradition expects, therefore, the redemption to come in Nisan again, just like the first redemption came in Nisan. So Passover and the redemption from Egypt took place in the month of Nisan. And the sages said, they say it this way, they say, in the month of Nisan, our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt. And in Nisan, we will be redeemed as well. So Judaism considers the festival Passover is this prototype for the final redemption, and that's why we look for Elijah at the Seder and that sort of thing, set a place at the Seder table for Elijah, because he should show up. It's Nisan. He should show up and he should proclaim he should herald the appearance of the Messiah. What else? What else makes Nisan special? You probably already knew the Passover one. I'll show you another thing. Turned over to Exodus chapter 40, which was this is Parshat Pekudei. Chapter 40. This day in Bible history, the first day of Nisan, where it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, Moses, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So here we are, 1 year after the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt, on the first day of the first month, that is the first of Nisan, Moses puts up the tabernacle. He erects the tabernacle, as it says in verse 17, in the first month of the second year, in the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. And then in verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses couldn't enter because of the cloud and the glory. And this is a grand moment, this historic, amazing moment, the culmination of the spiritual desire of man and God to be united, a unification of heaven and earth, which foreshadows the future unification of Jerusalem above with Jerusalem below, when the dwelling place of God will be among men. And this all took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan. So Moses set up the tabernacle on this day. The sages say, in the days to come, the temple will be rebuilt, just as the tabernacle was built during the month of Nisan. The temple will be rebuilt in the month of Nisan. To fulfill the verse from Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. So this idea comes actually from our Haftarah portion, which we heard read today. So now you will turn to the book of Ezekiel, and we'll see another first day of the first month reference in our Haftarah portion. Ezekiel 45, 18th verse. That's where we started reading today. It's a prophecy of the Messianic era. And it says in verse 18, thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a bull from the herd without blemish and purify the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple. Does this sound familiar? Smearing blood on doorposts? That's kind of strange for a temple ritual. It's obviously Passover imagery. And you'll put some on the four corners of the ledge of the altar and the posts of the gate of the inner court. And you shall do the same in the seventh of the month for anyone who has sinned through error or ignorance, so shall you make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall celebrate the feast of Passover for 7 days. And on that day, the prince shall provide for himself and for all the people of the land a young bull for a sin offering. The prince. Who is the prince? The prince, the Hebrew word is nasi. The prince is a title for Messiah. Ezekiel uses this term, nasi, all the time for the king of Israel. The nasi. So this is the Messiah. He is going to provide the sacrifices on the first day of Nisan. That's what it says. So this ritual, this is corresponding in the past, where the priests are smearing the blood and that sort of thing. But the prophecy tells us that the sacrifices for the dedication of the altar and the temple in the Messianic era, as well as the offerings which are to be brought by the Nasi, the Messiah King, on this day, is going to happen on the first day of the first month. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I'm afraid that you'll be confused between Nisan and Nasi because they have some of the same consonants. So let's make sure we got this. Nisan is the name of the month. Nasi, which is spelled quite differently, and is a different word altogether, means prince. Okay, prince. Nasim, princess. Not princess, but plural. More than one prince. Okay? Whereas Nisan is the name of the first month. Yeshua is called in Ezekiel 45 the Nasi, and he dedicates the temple, or he provides a sacrifice for the dedication of the temple on the first day of Nisan. We're all clear on that? Good. All right. You ever heard that title before? Nasi? I'll show you where it comes from for Messiah. Turn over to Numbers chapter 7. I'll show you where this comes from. Show you the first time it appears in reference to the line of Messiah, the Nasi. Numbers chapter 7 says, on the day when Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, well, here we are again. What day was that? We should know by now. That was the first day of the first month. So on the day when Moses finished setting up the tabernacle and anointed it, he consecrated it with all its furnishings, and he anointed and consecrated the altar with all its utensils, the chiefs of Israel, heads of their fathers' houses, who were the chiefs of the tribes, who were over those listed, approached and brought their offerings before the Lord. 6 wagons, 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 chiefs, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. Every time it says chiefs here in the English Standard Version, this is nasim. So it's the word nasi, the heads, the chiefs, the princes over each of the tribes. And this is, again, this is happening on the first day of Nisan. So skip down to verse 11. What happens in this passage now is that on each day, one of the Nasi over one of the tribes will bring a gift for the dedication of the altar. And we read in verse 11, the first day, the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings one Nasi each day for the dedication of the altar. He who offered his offering on the first day was Nachshon, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. This is the same Nachshon, the son of Amminadab, the Nasi of the tribe of Judah, the prince who is an ancestor of Yeshua, one of his great-grandfathers. His name appears in the genealogies of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. He's also famous in Jewish tradition as the man who led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and the sea split for Nachshon. That's Nachshon's leap. He's the hero of the seventh day of Passover, the trailblazer whose faith split the sea. So Nachshon, the prince, the Nasi from the tribe of Judah, is closely associated with the line of David and the Messiah, closely associated with the redemption, and he offered his gifts for the dedication of the altar on the first day of the first month of Nisan, which is very similar to what we were reading in Ezekiel 45 about the Nasi offering gifts for the dedication of the altar in the Messianic era on the first day of the first month. Well, there's lots of other things we could look at too. On the first day of Nisan, Ezra the scribe, he leaves Babylon with those who are they set out on the first day of the first month. They set out for Israel. This is a story of redemption. Or Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah, he gets permission to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem on the first day of the first month. Or how about the miracle of Purim that we celebrated nigh 2 weeks ago? The miracle of Purim. When did it happen? In the month of Nisan. It's a story of redemption. These are redemption stories. So Nisan is a month for redemption, the sages say. The sages say, Messiah is called first. He's called the first. And Messiah, who is called first, will come in the month that is called first. So the entire month of Nisan is this month of rejoicing, you know, because of the redemption, because this is the month when the Messiah is supposed to come and joy begins. You know, we always say, joy increases in Adar. Well, why does joy increase in Adar? Because Adar is the month before Nisan when joy reaches full measure, when we come into the joy of the redemption. How much more so is this the case for disciples of Yeshua of Nazareth who celebrate the month of Nisan as the month of the Master's resurrection from the dead, the month of the empty tomb, and the month of the new hope? For disciples of Yeshua, in my opinion at least, you know, whatever joy we associate with Nisan should be heightened because Nisan is the month of the resurrection. So there's certain things, certain customs that are associated with Nisan. For example, we don't say Tachanun during Nisan. Those prayers are omitted because it's a month of happiness, and those prayers involve some level of sorrow and distress over the exile and so forth, and confession and contrition. But we're celebrating. It's a party. The whole month is a party. And Nisan is also the month during which, fasting is prohibited. Did you know this about Nisan? Fasting is prohibited. I mean, if you want to, we're talking about a personal fast. You want to take out a personal fast? Can't do it in Nisan. Except there's a couple days you can. There's a few exceptions to the rule. You can fast on the first day of Nisan, which is strange. That's weird because it's Rosh Chodesh. You can fast on the 10th day of Nisan. You can fast on the 14th day of Nisan and on the 26th day of Nisan. Why? What are these? These are not mandatory fasts. These are fasts. These are days that you could fast if you wanted to fast. Otherwise, you can't fast during Nisan because fasting is, that's affliction of the self. You're afflicting yourself, and you're supposed to be happy. This is a time of joy, right? So what is it with these particular days? Well, the first day of Nisan is called the fast for the righteous, fast for the death of the righteous, because it's associated with the death of Nadab and Abihu. The 10th day of Nisan, I don't know why, but I think I know. That happens to be the yard site of Miriam, the sister of Moses. And the 26th day of Nisan is the yard site of Joshua, the disciple of Moses. So in each of these cases, we're able to fast in association with the death of a righteous person. What about the 14th day of Nisan? It's called the fast of the firstborn, in memory of the firstborn, right? The other fast days are fast in association with the death of a righteous person, except Nisan 14. But of course, as disciples, we know that Nisan 14 is also the anniversary of the death of a tzaddik, because that is the day of the crucifixion of our master. Our master suffered and died on Nisan 14, the day of Passover, the day of the Passover sacrifice, right? This is why Lent doesn't really work, though. Because Lent is supposed to be a time of self-affliction and fasting and that sort of thing. It doesn't really work in Jewish tradition to keep Lent, because you're not supposed to be afflicting yourself in the month of Nisan. Anyway, there is a time and a place for that. For that self-affliction stuff. When we get closer to Yom Kippur, that's the time to pull out the asceticism. Anyway, we've learned already that Moses set up the tabernacle, set up the temple or the tabernacle on the first day of Nisan, and according to tradition, he could have set it up on the first day of Adar. It was done. But Hashem said, No, wait till the first day of Nisan. So they packed it up, they left it all packed up, rolled up. Waited and for a whole month. According to another opinion, it was even more. It was done by Kislev. And so they had to wait several months. Why? The rabbis asked, why did Hashem make Moses wait until the first day of the first month before assembling the tabernacle? Why not put it up when it was finished? And the sages said that the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to combine the joy of the tabernacle with the joy of Nisan. And what was the joy of Nisan back in the day? Well, the joy of Nisan was the joy that this was the month when Abraham's son Isaac was born. And Hashem said, behold, I am going to mingle your joyous occasions by placing joy within a time of joy. This was a surprising answer to me. What relationship does the tabernacle have with the birth of Isaac? It seems strange. What connection between Isaac and the tabernacle? Well, here's the answer. The tabernacle is a place of sacrifice. And according to the tradition, the sacrificial services in the tabernacle and in the temple happen on the merit of the sacrifice of Isaac, which according to some opinions took place in the month of Nisan, at Passover time. And the sacrificial services all point back, they rest upon Abraham's test and the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. So from a messianic perspective, this is interesting that the sages made this correlation between the birth of Isaac and the tabernacle and the binding of Isaac. It's interesting, they pointed to this rather than Passover. I mean, wouldn't it make more sense? They said, why did he make him wait till Nisan? Well, he wanted to mingle joy with joy, and it was the Passover month. Instead, they say, no, Isaac. It's because of Isaac. It's very interesting from a messianic perspective. Because from our perspective, just as Judaism teaches that the binding of Isaac is the foundation for the sacrificial services in the temple, we believe that the binding of Isaac is tied, it's bound to the crucifixion and the death of Yeshua. And the binding of Isaac foreshadows that event. And we believe that the death of our master who died at Passover in the month of Nisan answers to the whole sacrificial system, and that he is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world and so forth, the basis of all the sacrifices. And along similar lines, the blood that marked the homes of the children of Israel in the month of Nisan corresponds to the sacrifice of Isaac. Because the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over that home. What blood did he see? He saw the blood of Isaac. Midrash Tanhuma. From a messianic perspective, then, disciples of Yeshua see the blood of the Passover lamb smeared on the doorposts in Egypt as a symbol of the blood of our master that was shed at Passover in the month of Nisan, these many generations later. So, again, when Isaac was bound on the altar, according to some opinions in the month of Nisan, at the time of Passover, it must have seemed to Abraham, must have seemed that the promises had failed. And this is kind of the point of redemption. When it seems like the promises have failed, it seems like Abraham's progeny is going to be cut off, that all the promises that God made to Abraham are falling to the ground. This very incident, however, became the source of merit for Abraham and all of his offspring. The Lord said to Abraham, because you have done this thing, you've not withheld your son, I will bless you, right? And I'll make your seed numerous. Likewise, in the month of Nisan at Passover, if you think about it, it seemed that the promise of the kingdom, the big promise of Messiah, failed. The Messiah came, sure, he came, he was here. He arrived in Jerusalem in Nisan as expected. He entered the holy city in the month of Nisan just as he was expected to do so, openly with fanfare and so forth, just as you would expect. But contrary to expectation, the Romans crucified him. And to all appearances, the promises of God failed in the month of Nisan. But this is the whole point of Nisan. It is from, it's this reversal. You know, it looks like we went from light to darkness. It looks like we went from redemption to bondage. But out of that darkness shone forth light, the brilliance that came forth from the empty tomb when the Messiah stepped forth alive. And the very incident then, which seemed like the end of hope, became the source of all hope. And this is the spiritual greatness of the month of Nisan. So it's appropriate, I think, don't you, that the Lord chose this month, the first day of this month, to have Moses set up the tabernacle, and then to descend upon it, to fill it with the glory of his presence. And on that day, the first day of the first, for the Nasi, the prince of the tribe of Judah, to offer his gifts for the dedication of the altar. And on the first day of the first, we look forward then to that bright future when the prince, the Nasi, the Messiah, comes again next year in Jerusalem, brings the final redemption, and establishes the temple on the holy mountain. And the altar will be dedicated and sanctified, as we read in Ezekiel 45, and cleansed on the first day of Nisan, and the whole temple will be restored, and the glory of the Lord will return to Zion, and his presence will rest upon it. not through the merit of blood of the blood of bulls and goats, but by the merit of the blood that was shed on Golgotha in the month of Nisan.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.